The whole point of a sale is to start a new relationship. And when marketing got connected to relationships, and I'm just, that's just the core of my being. I absolutely thrive on creating connections. The whole world for me revolves around relationships. And so when that was said, it was, that one big idea was so freeing. And then the next thought was, you're creating something. It's your obligation to take that solution to somebody who needs that problem solved.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. On today's episode, I bring to you my friend, Dwayne Zingali. Isn't that an awesome name? Now, Dwayne is a marketer, but really more than that, he talks about starting movements. And if you're someone who has struggled with the thought of marketing, you know, you have your art, you have your creativity, you have your creation, and yet you kind of recoil at the thought of, oh, I gotta put on that marketing hat and figure out how do I talk about it and how do I position it and how do I do all that and not feel like some slimy salesman. You know, nobody likes that, right? And we talk a little bit about that today. And Dwayne unpacks a framework that is really helpful in positioning yourself with not only some tactics that are practical, but really also a mindset that shifts things. We need to shift the conversation and the way that we look at marketing so that we're really solving some problems that other people have, as opposed to trying to badger them to buy our thing or hire us for a service. And so we talk about that. We talk about Legos. So if you're a Lego freak, you'll enjoy the first part of our conversation as well. And really just dive into this whole concept of creating a movement behind your work, not just simply marketing it to people, not just trying to get it out to a wider audience, but really finding those people who will champion the work that you do because you are helping them in a way that no one else can. And so they become your biggest cheerleaders. So I know you're going to really enjoy this episode. I have a great time talking with Dwayne. It's very practical, very personal. And without further ado, let's get into the conversation today with Dwayne Zingali. Welcome to the show, Dwayne. I so appreciate you being here on Creative Chats.
Hey, thank you, Mike, so much for having me. It's been a joy to come full circle 2 years later and connect with you here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for our listeners, we met at a conference called The Thing. And we just connected there and got to chat and been keeping up on social media and all the other interwebs ever since. So it's been great.
That it has. It's been fun to watch your art and keep up with what's going on. And of course, keep up with our friend Terry. So
yes.
I was hoping to go back this year, but here we all are enjoying yes. our lockdown.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll happen again. It's just things get shuffled around a little bit in the season that we're currently in. So
this is true.
Yeah. So I would love for you to just let us know who is Dwayne Zingali. And by the way, I love your last name. I love Zingali. You know, I could say it all over. And, you know, I think you're the only Dwayne I know. So aside from like maybe like when I was growing up, you know, like watching What's Happening, you know, Dwayne, you ever see that show?
Yeah. I have seen it. Yeah. Okay.
That's probably been a long time. Sorry. It's a big reach, little sidebar. But anyway, why don't you tell us who is Dwayne Zingali? Who are you? What do you do?
Sure. It's funny that you mentioned kind of an old thing in my only name. I think of Tigger. Tigger is a wonderful thing because he's the only one. And sometimes I think of myself that way. Of course, I'm first and foremost a husband and a dad. I've got two little girls and I'm reliving my childhood, so to speak. As a dad, I'm also a fun fact is I can take my ears off. So I am a have a syndrome called Treacher-Collins syndrome. So I get to relive that story over and over and over again through my wife's business, which is super incredible. And I am an entrepreneur with a digital marketing agency and marketing consultant for what they call sales funnels. And I lead a tribe called the Marketing Your Movement, where I really help coaches, consultants, people who really want to build a personal brand and impact lives, create a movement so that people following become messengers of their cause.
I love that. I love that because it's not just like, hey, marketing, but your understanding and your take on it is like, hey, let's start a movement. And I think that's really when you get people invested. And we'll explore a little bit more of that. So let's just put a pin in that for now. But I just want to say yes. Awesome. Love that. So one of the other questions I usually start with is asking my guests to think back to their childhood and think about maybe an experience centered around creativity. Maybe it was, a drawing or painting or music, things like that, or it was a toy or a game. Sometime that signified to you like, oh, I'm a creative person, and you got kind of all lit up inside and got excited about it. Those pure moments of childhood, you know, do you have a moment like that? Maybe you could share with us.
I can think of two. One is, of course, the creativity killer. I drew a self-portrait in kindergarten. And of course my mom thought it was the greatest thing, you know, kindergarten art, who's not the raving artist, so like, oh, this kindergarten has potential. And of course I finished that and went, I'm not an artist. However, I loved one toy as a kid more than anything else, and I still love it to this day. I loved Legos. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't have said I'm creative, but in my mind as a child, my Legos were living. I would literally try and catch my Legos having conversations. And then, of course, in my imagination, they did. And I remember, you know, you build it, you get the instructions, you go, okay, this is cool. Now what can this become? And my mind and my hands engineered and built so many various universes, so to speak. I cities. I had massive cities. You know, the one that stands out is I had an 8x4 plywood board set up on easels, and I built an entire city of airport, homes, police station, everything I had, every ounce of creativity. I had the monorail, and I mean, I would just build up and up and up and out and out and out. And it never ceased to bring great joy and pleasure to find myself in my Legos.
Yeah. I can remember playing with Legos as a kid too. I always found it a little interesting because, like, I was not somebody who liked to crack open the instructions and figure out like, how do you build the thing that's on the box? You know, it was like, being the artist creative like that, I was just like, hey, I want to build my own thing, you know? And I actually used to get frustrated that like some of the pieces is like, they're square blocks. Can I do something else? Like, can I have some other, you know? And of course, over time they introduced other pieces that were with wheels and the little people and things like that, which made it, you know, a little bit easier for me. But, that's funny that, you say you used to imagine what kind of conversation that they would have. I think I know what the conversation was. You ready? It was how can we lay on the floor so that when people step on us, we will inflict maximum pain.
Particularly, how can we make the parents have a lot of pain?
Yes. Oh, that's great stuff.
Oh, but man, seriously, though. I experienced that.
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of skill that goes into building, especially like, I'm close to New York City and there's a Lego store right in Rockefeller Center. And I remember just going in there, so often, and then just looking and marveling at these incredible, like, bigger than me sculptures made of Legos. And they were so intricate. And, they just really were like, I mean, mesmerizing. And I think to myself, those are the same Legos that are available to everybody. And yet this is what these people did with them. Like, that is maximum creativity, right?
It really is. And it takes a fun, playful mind, right? Getting lost in the creativity. I remember seeing that in the Mall of America. I can't think of the state, but it's in the Mall of America, somewhere in the Midwest. And they have
Minnesota,
this,
isn't it?
Minnesota. Thank you. First time I was a 18-year-old. So, you know, I played with Legos my whole life, stopped playing with Legos, went on and did the high school thing and returned to it. And all I could remember is the sheer joy seeing Snoopy bigger than me from Charlie Brown Snoopy. And just thinking, my God, why did I ever stop playing with these? I want to go do that again. Mm. And so eventually I decided to have children so I could play with Legos again. It's purely selfish. I just wanted a kid so I could buy Legos.
That's awesome. So how do you see that there's a connection to when you were younger, your either methodology and creativity in playing with Legos to what you do now?
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a long time to realize it. And I only realized it maybe a year ago, when I was told to write my own personal bio, and I thought about how I was returning to my childhood with my children. And of course, my favorite thing to do with my kids is buy them Lego sets, watch them build it, but really so I get to build it with them, right? Selfishly buying more Legos so eventually I can have a whole room full of them. But what I do online is, of course, build websites. So I have those same idea of all these building blocks, like, oh, I want to put this here and I want to put this here. And I want, of course, the conversation part. I was imagining the conversations in those Legos. I wanted to imagine the conversation that I'm going to have with a customer client and the words that have to go on the site, right? And in the marketing world, we say, how can you get into the customer's mind and the conversation that they're having with themselves? And so how do you take all these building blocks and build a page? But not only a page, how do you take all these building blocks and then move someone through, you know, hey, we just met. Oh, hey, here's a solution. And so it's a sequential set of conversations. It's almost like playing out a whole relationship over a series of sequences, playing with all these building blocks where you can move things around. Oh, I want to do this and have this conversation here that leads to this page. And so it is a lot like Legos, putting all these pieces together, picking them apart, moving them somewhere else, trying something new. And it just, it brings it all together, just like Legos.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. And in terms of like marketing, right? So somebody listening right now, they may be like, okay, so I'm a visual artist or I'm a musician or I'm a dancer. You know, they have their creative expression. And of course, it's one thing to have a personal creative expression, but it's another to have a business that's based on that creativity. And so for the business aspect, we need marketing. But a lot of times I think people who consider themselves artists in some fashion buck against that because they feel like somehow marketing is a dirty word, right? That somehow it's selling out or trying to manipulate people into doing some things that they don't want to do. They don't, you know, they conjure up these images of like the slick salesman, you know, the car salesman that you're just like, you feel like you need a shower after you've been there. You know what I mean? Like that's sometimes what's the script that's running behind the scenes as far as marketing, right? How can you help us leave that and understand truly the power of marketing? And especially when you talk in terms of like a movement, like what does that mean? What does it look like?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, those kind of people, I was one of those. I hated marketing, but I knew it needed to happen. And I thought it was all sleazy, all manipulative. And then I had an encounter with somebody who flipped the conversation from, hey, you buy my thing, I'm going to stab you with my business card in a hardcore sales tactics, right? Into the whole point of a sale is to start a new relationship. And when marketing got connected to relationships, and I'm just, that's just the core of my being. I absolutely thrive on creating connections. The whole world for me revolves around relationships. And so when that was said, it was that one big idea was so freeing. And then the next thought was, you're creating something. It's your obligation to take that solution to somebody who needs that problem solved because they're stuck with a gap. And of course, in art, we think, well, there's no gap. There's no problem to solve. But But one of the greatest things about art is it solves something internally. Mm-hmm. You know, I can look at, of course, we're on video and I can see behind you, and it stirs up all sorts of inspiration and thought and deep contemplation. And there's so many things that art does that I feel, you know, if you're to truly want to make a business out of it, which I think is an honorable practice, because the world, let's face it, needs art. Because if you go to places where there's a lack of art, you see a lack of culture and how much that drives us. And so it really is the obligation of you to present what you have. And so I like to go about it thinking of not, hey, I'm the slimy salesman, but becoming the leader of a cause. And so you get into it, and I like to ask these three questions that my mentor asked me. What breaks your heart? What pisses you off? And what are you going to do about it? And I like to ask this way, what are you committed to cause with it? And when you come from that angle, you feel that sense of obligation. Well, I'm going out, and your art comes often from those emotions.
Yeah.
I know, at least from me, right? I even in the creative side of building marketing funnel, I'm like, this is so driven by that sense of mission. Yeah. I'm on a mission to solve this problem. And of course I choose to do it with clients. So I'm on a mission to solve your problem. Let's make sure you bring that transformation to people, because you're making the world a better place with your business. And in your case, the world is better because of art.
Yeah.
And so by becoming the leader and standing up, you position yourself as attractive and somebody people want to gravitate towards, rather than the, hey, I'm going to hit you upside the head with my business card. And yeah. I'm going to push you. And that's kind of the stark difference, because people want to join a story where they feel like they belong. Mm. Yeah. So that's kind of the idea of a movement, is where the story meets the right person, meets the right, what we call in the marketing world, offer, what's kind of a packaged goods, right? So for the artist world, it might be a piece of art, or it might be a collection of art. It might be digital, it might be physical. But when you pair those three things together, you just naturally magnetize people to who you are as the person.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think sometimes too, along with an artist seeing the whole, okay, sleazy salesman type of marketing thing, that's even so much further from where they are, because a lot of artists, not all, but a lot of artists are very introverted and very just not comfortable with being either on camera, out front. They don't see themselves as that. They see themselves more as the quiet person who there's a lot going on internally, and then they're trying to create that externally with their creative expression, but they don't view themselves as, like what you said before, a leader. But I think it's pushing themselves to realize that they are still that. They don't have to be this crazy extrovert, but they do need to figure out how to leverage their voice and who mm-hmm. they are, so that they are the leader that they need to be for the people that need what they have to offer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way you can even think about it, if you're not the type of person to show your face, the leader is really selling the dream. They're telling a story about selling the dream, moving people forward. And you can do that as a leader through your art. You don't ever have to technically show your face, but you tell a narrative from piece to piece to piece. And this is something you could easily do on, say, social medias. Okay, well, let's do 12 posts, and these 12 posts tell a story. And this is the creative side I love in marketing as well, is when you bring a narrative together. Okay, well, crazy event happens, world pandemic, right? We're in the midst of an amazing story. I can't wait for the movie. You can tell this story of, okay, well, this happens. Okay, now getting groceries is suddenly an adventure.
Yeah.
And you can tell that story of going through the, oh my God, I had to take my kids. I didn't know I needed groceries. Do I need a mask? I don't know. Society tells me I need a mask, but I feel this twinge of rebellious independence in me. And then that piece of story. And then, of course, there's going to be a climax we're all waiting for right now. And of course, bringing it to that climax. And if you've built up that anticipation for the climax in your pieces of art, the amount of people who are going to start to gravitate to that story from a sequence of pieces are going to be waiting. And then, of course, they're also going to be wanting to share that experience with everybody. Oh my gosh, can you believe this story? And that's why artists who create movies, right? Movies get mad movements behind them. We think of you're wearing a Star Wars shirt right now. Think about a movement that's in the artistic world. And you had the mind of George Lucas, who's like, oh my gosh, we can do the most technical things with special effects that blew the world out of the water. And of course, thankfully, in the time of creating the original trilogy, he had a partner who knew how to pair the special effects with telling a good story. And we have a movement of raving mad fans who continue to recreate stories in that universe through art, through expression, through video, because they're just so in love with that movement. And yeah. I think that's the power of becoming a leader. And I don't even know what George Lucas looks like, but he uses art and his science, special effects to tell something incredible, to create characters that we all deeply connect with.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And that, well said, you know, the power of the movement and having people join together. And I think it's definitely a opportunity to expand vision and to kind of get a sense of even more so what I'm making isn't just for me. It's for the people around me. It's somebody's waiting for that thing that I've been thinking about creating that I haven't yet. I've been on the fence. It's been on the back burner. I haven't made a priority. It could very well solve a real world problem for somebody, and they're waiting for that solution. And that a lot of times we don't think about. We just think about our own personal pressures and, well, what if it doesn't, you know, work? What if it flops? What if it, you know, we live in the land of what if, you know, too often.
It really is true. And it's funny that you say, you know, it could be one person's impact. I am a bit of a mystical person. I've seen people's art literally take people through one piece of art on a journey through their heart and mind and become healed from something that was blocking them, both in the psychological world and just moving them past. But I've also seen physical, like, change in a sense what you would call a healing because of a piece of art. Somebody saw it, they experienced something. I'm sure my friend in the mindset brain world could explain what it does to the brain, but it seems to do something that can heal people. And like you said, there could be somebody waiting for that transformation to hit them because your heart or your art affects their heart in such a way that they become inspired, motivated. It can hit somebody's core because it's such a deep expression. And I know how much music, art, creativity comes from the deep wells of the creator's life and emotions and everything going on. And that expression often can surface what somebody else needs surfaced.
Yeah.
And that's leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. So if somebody's listening right now and they're like, okay, Dwayne, you've convinced me that it's not just a bunch of marketing tactics that I need to employ, but I need to be thinking more in terms of a movement. How do they do that?
Sure. So I have kind of six sequential steps for building relationships. And really, this could work online and off. It's a mere fundamentals of society of how we build relationship. I use it through the sales funnels world. But first, to come before those six steps, you want to have three ideas together. We kind of mentioned it. You want to have a story who talks to a specific person that leads to a specific offer. And when you have those three things and you think of it as the three circles overlaying each other, there's a sweet spot in the middle. And in that sweet spot, you've located your perfect, in this case, I would say your perfect patron, right? We're as artists who want to build a business out of it are looking for patrons. And when you can find your perfect patrons by locating them in the online world, this is as simple as take time to think of a 2-week narrative and share a piece of art every day that leads to a sequential story. And of course, I'm seeing that through your art and in the Instagram right now, where it's like, oh yeah, the story of our times. And it's so relatable. And of course, Star Wars, Darth Vader with a mask over his face is just like, just draws you in, right? And so you're locating your audience online. Social media is the best place in the world to find free audience. It takes time. You're not going to have a million followers overnight, but it's a great place. And when you start locating those people who truly want to find and enter that story narrative, you want to invite them in. So you've gone and found them where they're playing and invited them into your world. And often that comes by, in my world, offering a simple solution that they can go take action on today. So in the marketing world, we call it the lead magnet. And the reason we call it a lead magnet is because we're getting their information, a lead, email information, phone information, right? That's the quintessential piece of stepping into sales. But really, when you get that, you're inviting them into a conversation with your art. You might offer a fill in the blank coloring book if you can do that, which my wife is doing right now. So we're building a coloring book for her business, not because she's an artist, but because it's a good fit, because she's reaching a number of moms with their children who have the same syndrome I do. And by inviting in, now you're beginning that conversation almost on a, you know, to take it to the dating game, when we were first going out there, you went out to the mall and you got a girl's phone number and you invited her out. First date, let's go get coffee. You're not asking to get married. You're not asking to get engaged. You're just getting coffee. You're building the relationship, which then you have their information. You can start building a relationship. And I call this the survey step, because we're listening. I don't know if I said this, the listen funnel framework, because listening builds relationship. So when you survey, you're asking intriguing questions, and no, it's not a long form survey, but it's interjecting, getting to know that person. So one of the first emails I always love to do is ask a question that gets somebody to reply. Not only because it's good for the technical side of Google saying, this is a real person who wants to have a real conversation, but when you start a real conversation with somebody, in context of what they just did, you know their interest and they're the most likely to become a patron. And so we move into that, and we've done that LIS step. And in the next step, we teach. And the reason we want to teach is because people, when they experience that pull in, and particularly for the people who want to lead, they want to know what to do next. Not always how to do it, although the how step could be something they buy, but more the why and the what. In the artist world, they just might want to know more about what inspires you, how you go about doing your art. And people will watch it for the sake of watching it. So yeah. Yes, even an artist can teach, and you can teach without, you know, you can put a camera over what you're doing. It doesn't have to be your face. It doesn't have to be your voice. There's so many creative ways to express it. Go on YouTube and type in doodly, and you'll see ways people have expressed themselves through online art using whiteboards to teach.
Yeah.
And so that step of teaching and relationship building brings them into the step where they're kind of primed to buy. This is what to do. I'm excited. I see the movement. I see where you're leading me. What next? And that's where you flip the script on the slimy salesman. And I call it empower, because one of the most powerful things to do is empower somebody to make the purchase by sharing stories. Kind of like the stories of the piece of art that somebody experienced a transformational healing. And it took them where they had emotional blockage and just released it. And that story means your art has impact. And that's what people want to be remembered by. If I put a piece of art on my wall, usually it has some semblance of, oh, that reminds me of, or nostalgia, or I love Star Wars, or I have a Lego over here. You know, it's a war machine from Iron Man. I'm like, yes, you know, Marvel, I have an attachment to a universe. And drawing into that, right, you're attaching and empowering the connection to the story so that the buyer sees themselves as the hero. And when we enter that hero's journey, you're really empowering someone to move forward. And that's what's so powerful about the purchase. And especially when you commit money, because when you give something that you worked for, money, your buy-in to take the next steps, to take action, to see transformation, to move forward, to have emotional connection to that piece of art on your wall, to enjoy the coloring book, to color with your children. There's so many outlets that creative expression can empower someone. You really draw them in, and after they've made that purchase, the next step that's often forgotten that really creates and leads to a movement of people who share everything you put out there is nurture. And so by nurturing your community to have success, to nurture the relationship, to empower them to become messengers of your movement. So it's not just you always selling the dream, getting out there, sharing the story, but everybody else who's experienced that success, that transformation, can help but share the message. This person's mission in their art brought change in my life. And that's a movement.
Yeah.
When people start sharing your message, I think of, and I'm a religious person, so, but I think we all know the story. Jesus found 12 disciples who carried his message forward. And 2,000 years later, we've got a whole onslaught of various Christian denominations because somebody decided to capture a message and carry a movement forward. Whether you're a believer or not, that's something that happened through a relationship of listening.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful stuff. And thank you for unpacking all that, because I think there's so much to that, that is, you have to be intentional. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I think people think, well, if I just have my creative expression, my craft, and I produce my art or my creation and put it out there, then it's going to just find its home, or stuff's just going to automatically happen. And that doesn't work. I mean, there are lottery ticket winners. Yeah. You know, you can be found, you can be discovered, but that's not the everyday person. Mm-hmm. And if we're really looking to make an impact with what we create, and we truly want to leverage that for the good of other people, we need to figure out how to be intentional about that process as well.
Very much so.
You know, you're sinking so much of yourself into what you're creating that why would you not want to be intentional on the other side of getting it out before as many people as possible? And like you said, creating that movement. I love that so much. That's one of the reasons why I'm even doing this podcast, is because I want to connect with people. You know, I say, the way I term it is, I say I connect with artists, makers, and content creators. And we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. And so all these things are threads through our lives, and we can all learn from each other and figure out how can we learn from other people's experiences, learn from their knowledge, and apply it to what we're doing so that it continues to grow. And so there is this movement of makers and artists and content creators that are putting things out there, that are making a difference in the world today by what it is that they're producing and creating, you know?
That's so true. And it really just takes one. I think of the story of Pablo Picasso that Jeff Goins wrote about in his book, and how he found one wealthy patron. He didn't get discovered. He went out and located somebody who was excited about his art. And that patron was a movement maker. He began sharing the message. And then all of a sudden, Pablo, you know, we all could, oh, Pablo Picasso just got discovered. Well, no, he did the hard work of locating that first person, inviting him into his art experience, getting to know him in the relationship process, and then nurturing that relationship. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody who had wealth and influence, that's where you get into the public relations, right? We call it PR. Essentially, it was a PR stunt that got Pablo Picasso discovered. And by getting a movement follower, your first follower, so to speak, who's really on the bandwagon to expand your mission, you can really garner some influence because somebody influential is excited about what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's called business leverage.
Yes.
It's thinking through it. And it's sometimes it's hard to think about leverage, but leverage, of course, is just positioning to get maximum impact on people's lives.
Yeah. And there's that piece for creative people, I think, that we have a need to be significant and have our work be significant. And that comes through relationship. That comes through connection. Mm-hmm. And again, that doesn't just happen on its own. And so I love all the things that you've been talking about of, you know, a narrative, sharing the story, sharing your story through your art, sharing a story of the context of which you're making the art. If it's commentary of a certain time, like you said before, you know, I'm creating these images right now. I'm in the series of how many different pieces of art that I'm doing daily can I center around this time period we're in that are around the coronavirus, you know, and there's, you know, loose themes and some snarky things and, you know, funny things here and there, but I'm really just trying to create this little series that is timely and everybody relates to it and everybody has some experience to lend to it. And so the more that we can figure out how to lean into that and to do that, I think the better our chances are of creating things that is going to connect with people. And then we will feel like that work is significant and impactful in people's lives, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really true about it being timely and creating impact. I think of seeing your art and the impact right now is it's lightening the mood. I mean, we're all a little tense, a little scared, a little mad at the government. You know, there's all sorts of emotions going on, wondering what the heck is going to happen. And art, of course, oh yeah, I can laugh. And laughter is an amazing cure. And of course, I see some of your images and just can't help but laugh, which yeah. releases all the stress. You know, art, your art is a stress relief right now. So that's been hugely powerful.
Mm. Awesome. Great. And I love that whole image that you spoke about before, right? So it's Darth Vader with a medical mask on. So it's double protection. And it's like, what? Can a guy be a little safe, you know? And you know, so often it was, you know, Darth Vader showed up on the scene and everybody does the breathing thing, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's such a part of who he is and the whole persona. And then layering that on top of like, okay, now mask in a different sense, you know, in our time period right now, I love that, extra layer of kind of wink, wink, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is a really fun picture. It also kind of points out some of the absurdity that's going yes. on and a mix of like the emotions. Mm-hmm. There's just so much in there that you yeah. can unpack. And of course, to some degree, it's to the eye of the beholder.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, such good stuff. I really, really appreciate you again taking us on that journey and just giving us some tools, I think, because a lot of times people may feel a little lost knowing that they need to do more, knowing that they want to connect, but not really knowing how. And so you laying some of those things out really practically, I think is really going to help people take that next step. And figure out, okay, who is it that I want to connect with? How do I reach them? Where are they hanging out? How can I tell narrative and serve the people and be sure that I'm looking at this in terms of a movement, not just marketing? So thank you so much for that. I have one last question for you, Dwayne. I'd love to know, out of all the things that people have told you over the years, is there one thing that is a piece of advice where it was really instrumental in your business and creativity?
Yeah, I think there's one piece of advice, and I like to say it this way. You're only one relationship away. I was advised that you only need to get in one conversation with one key influencer, somebody who's 3 years ahead of you, and get in their sphere. And that one conversation, of course, has happened multiple times. And it really is true. I've stepped into the next season and the next season, and always because I'm one relationship away. And like the story of Pablo Picasso, he was one relationship away and then he got discovered. Hmm. And that really has stuck with me because creating connections is the joy of my life and has certainly proved to be very fruitful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for that. And I know we didn't really talk much about, but you have a podcast as well. It's Marketing Your Movement Show. I love what you're doing there, just bringing people on and exploring this whole idea of movements with people. So I encourage everybody right now, go subscribe to Dwayne's show, Marketing Your Movement. And where can people find you online? How can they follow you? What's the best way to connect?
Sure. The best way to connect with me is either on Facebook or Instagram. If you want to kind of dive in immediately, it's at Dwayne Zingale, if you can spell it. Dwayne, DuaneZingale. And of course, that'll probably be in the show notes.
Yes.
So that's a great way to connect with me. I also have the Listen Funnel Framework as a downloadable on my website. So if you head to DuaneZingale.com, that'll be there for you if you kind of want to see that in a visual layout of what that 6 sequential steps looks like.
That's perfect. And I encourage everybody to run right now, at least if you're able to. If not, make sure you do it as soon as you can, because this stuff is so valuable, and really appreciate you making this available to our listeners today, Dwayne. So thank you.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.